Chapter 2. The Queen. Most lunch periods, Eddie stops by the picnic table just off campus in the woods surrounding the school. It's the spot where he makes his deals, the spot where people can meet up with him to invite him to sell at their party or ask to meet with him after school for something more than weed. On Tuesday, he heads over there when there's about 20 minutes left till the end of the period. He's made a few quick deals. No one likes to hang out with the freak, so they usually head away once the deal is done, when he feels like he's being watched. The hairs on the back of his neck stand up, and behind him, where the woods go on for like a mile and no one should be approaching from, he hears the sound of leaves crunching. Eddie jumps up, spinning quickly and preparing to run the fuck away or pull his pocket knife if he has to. It's Strider. He stops at the edge of the clearing, tilting his head and whining softly. Eddie relaxes. "It's cool, big guy. I just thought you were going to kill me and drag my body into the woods." Eddie laughs nervously as Strider bounds over, rubbing against his thigh and almost hurting him back toward the table. Okay, I get it. You missed me. I missed you too." Eddie puts his lunchbox on the bench next to him, rubbing the wolf's jaws and petting his neck and sides. The wolf shoves his snout up under Eddie's hair and pushes his wet nose into the sensitive skin under his ear. There's no way to stop the ridiculous giggle that Eddie lets out. He doesn't push the wolf away, though, since he'd seen him do the same thing with the boys, just bumps his head against the side of the wolf's head. "Hey, you're the one who decided to make yourself scarce," Eddie scolds him when Strider pulls back. "You didn't even wait around to scare Harrington." It might be Eddie's imagination, but Strider almost seems to cringe at the name Harrington. Maybe since he knows the freshman, he knows Harrington and doesn't like him. Wouldn't that be great? Like, haha, my wolf dog hates you and your stupid hair. Probably not. Especially since the kids seem to love Harrington. Strider probably does too. What is Eddie missing there? Strider doesn't go back to the school grounds with him after lunch, which is probably for the best since no teacher would let him into their classrooms. But Eddie is still sad to see him go. He makes Strider shake on the promise to come visit him at the trailer again. Not that the wolf understood any of that, especially not the shaking or promising, but still. When the wolf shows up at the trailer just after Wayne leaves on Wednesday, Eddie is ecstatic. And really, he is getting suspicious about the wolf's ability to avoid Wayne, but not suspicious enough to care. He's just a smart wolf. Eddie tells him so as he pets him and nuzzles him to the point where Strider is practically drooling. When Strider leaves the trailer that night, he rubs against Eddie's bare legs, licking one knee before bounding down the steps and taking off down the road. It's Friday, the last Friday before spring break. Lucas Sinclair has decided that being a jock is more important than D&D, and Eddie is pissed off about it. The little ingrate. Eddie takes him in, makes him part of his weird little band of freaks, and what does Sinclair do? Joins the basketball team, and then blows off D&D to throw a ball into a fucking laundry basket. He sends the other brats to get him a new player while he heads out to his picnic bench to set up his weekend deals. Strider is there already. Eddie tries not to bring his irritation to the table, but it's hard. He fucking hates being abandoned. He's got issues with that, okay? And he doesn't deal well with changes that he doesn't make himself. Sue him. The wolf seems very concerned with his mood, nosing his hands and herding him to the table, to jump up on the bench and nuzzle against Eddie's neck. He doesn't even try to hold on to the anger, just lets the damn wolf cuddle it away. Before long, he's laughing at the wet muzzle and repeated huffs into his throat. "Aw, that's so cute," a soft, feminine voice says. Eddie looks up as Strider turns his head toward her, leaping over the table to sniff at the girl's bare legs. She stiffens up in obvious fear, but Strider is already rubbing his soft fur against her. Needlessly, Eddie tells her, "There's nothing to worry about, okay?" She's adorable, small, delicate like a bird. Her legs have to be freezing in that dumb skirt. She's got a letter sweater pulled around her. It's too big, pooling at her wrists, like she's trying to hide herself away in it. He knows who she is. It's not that big of a school. Not that big of a town, honestly. But he knows it'll freak her out if she's trying to stay anonymous, so he keeps it to himself. "No one ever comes out here. We're safe, I promise," Eddie assures her, sitting on the bench and waving her over. Strider comes with her. He seems very concerned. "Is this your dog?" She giggles as she pets under his chin. No. Pretty sure it's the other way around. He thinks me and a few others are his people. Strider does that chuff thing that sounds like a laugh. A chortle. Chrissy giggles again. Turning back to him, but keeping one arm around Strider, who seems determined to keep her warm and safe, she says, completely without guile, "So, how does this work?" He grins, spreading his hands, no tricks up his sleeves, like any other sale, except cash only, Eddie smirks, and, for obvious reasons, no receipts. Inclining his head gallantly, he flips open his ancient lunchbox. "I'll do you a half ounce for, what do you say, 20? Plenty of bang for your buck. Should last a while." Her eyes have lost focus, and she's staring over his shoulder. Eddie looks back, but there's nothing there. Strider whines, noses at Chrissy's shoulder. Her hand lays flat on his back, no longer stroking his soft fur. Eddie touches her hand, and she flinches back, almost falling off the bench. Putting his hands up, Eddie says, "Hey, we don't need to do this. Just give me the word, and I'll walk away." "It's not that. I don't want you to go." Her arms close around the wolf, and she buries her face in his neck, breathing deeply. When she looks up at Eddie, her face is calm again. It's a forced cute this time, though. Like she's made this face 1,000 times because it's the face everyone expects to see. "Do you ever feel like you're losing your mind?" You know, just on a daily basis. He ducks his head, smiling gently at her, trying not to spook her again. "I feel like I'm losing my mind right now. I'm doing a drug deal with Chrissy Cunningham, the queen of Hawkins High." He debates not telling her that he's known her for years, considering she probably doesn't remember him, but she needs the reassurance more than he needs his pride. "You know, this isn't the first time that we've, hung out." "No." Strider is sitting on the bench with her at this point, leaning his weight against her like she needs the grounding. Which she probably does. "You don't remember?" He doesn't expect her to. "I'm sorry, that's okay." Eddie clutches at his chest like she's stabbed him in the heart and throws himself backwards off the bench, ready to distract her further by making a spectacle out of himself. She gasps, tucking her smile into Strider, who's tilting his head at Eddie's antics. He rolls up, dusting himself off with a smile. "I wouldn't remember me either, Chrissy." His grin is honest and open, not malicious at all for her not remembering. "Honestly, do I have stuff in my hair?" He chuckles to himself, kicking at the debris on the forest floor and shaking the leaves from his shaggy locks. Then he glances back at her. "You don't remember me?" Chrissy looks embarrassed and shy, like she doesn't mean to forget the people who are less important. "I'm sorry," she says again, with a nervous chuckle. He can forgive her. Middle school, talent show. He makes his movements big but not aggressive. "You were doing this cheer thing. You know, the thing you do, it was pretty cool, actually." He ducks his face behind a lock of his hair, hoping she remembers because this will be so awkward if she doesn't. "And I was with my band, Corroded Coffin." The look of recognition on her face makes his heart soar, not in an attraction way, because she is not his type. And even if he liked girls, she's practically a baby. No, his heart soars because she remembers him, and it's great to know he was memorable to someone when he wasn't acting like a court jester and forcing them to pay attention. "Oh my god, yes, of course!" She giggles again. "With a name like that, how could I forget?" Eddie grins. "I don't know, you're a freak." "No, you looked so different." Oh, he knows. Wayne had taken him in only a few months before that. It was after his dad had found his notebook where he'd written that all his friends wanted to kiss and touch girls, but he didn't want to do those things with any of the girls he knew. It was after his dad had shaved off his girly curls and burned his notebook with the story he'd written about two boys fighting a dragon together and falling in love. And it was after his mom had come into his room and told him he was going to stay at Uncle Wayne's for a few weeks and she was going to stay with his dad. Even though his dad hit them both and couldn't hold a job and drank all the money away. Even though his mom had read him that book about the tree giving everything for her kid, she'd turned around and given him away like he was nothing. So yeah, he remembers the buzz cut he'd endured for 6 months before Wayne had asked if he wanted to grow it out or if he liked it that short. Wayne had seen him writing a poem on a piece of scrap paper once and gotten him notebooks. promised that they were his and that he would never snoop through them. Wayne had given Eddie the only bedroom in the trailer and insisted that a young boy needed space to grow, a space to be himself. And then, Wayne had given him love like he'd never really known before. With his curls had grown a trust and admiration for a man who hadn't expected to be a tree that gave things up, but he'd done it just the same, and he'd done it not only without complaint, but with praise and hugs and love. Yeah, well, my hair was buzzed. To shake off the memory, he yanks down his shirt, flashes his collarbone at her, gestures to the ink on his skin. And I didn't have all these sweet old tatties yet. There's something in her eyes for just a moment, an understanding maybe. Like she, too, knows the art of distraction when people get too close to her truth. Then she blinks and it's gone. You play the guitar, right? She glances at Strider, who's still leaning against her, probably getting dog hair all over her nice, clean cheer uniform. Do wolves shed? Uh-huh. Still do. He takes big steps as he kind of paces back and forth. You should come see us. We play at the hideout on Tuesdays. He can't decide if it would be cool to have her hang out because she actually is very sweet, or if it would be strange because she's ultimately a popular kid who couldn't care less about him and his friends, even if she does seem different. It's pretty cool. We actually get a crowd. He looks at her as he delivers the punchline. About 5 drunks. She laughs loudly, without reservation this time, almost pulling Strider with her as she leans to one side. He grins back. It's not exactly the garden, but you gotta start somewhere, right? So? Smiling softly, she leans the side of her face into the wolf. You know, you're not what I thought you'd be like. Mean and scary. Yeah. With a small smile, he admits, yeah, well, I actually kind of thought you'd be kind of mean and scary, too. Like Harrington, or Tommy Hagen and Carol, Jason Carver, Billy Hargrove. All those people who thrive on the power they have over other people. She perks up in surprise. Me? Terrifying, he admits, hamming it up for her. But there's business, and he needs to get going. So, in other good news, Flattery works with me, so 25% discount for the half. It's fine, he'll overcharge the other preps at the next party. You're robbing me blind here, you know. He smiles so she knows he's kidding. Her face sobers and her eyes drop, but then she looks up in determination with those enormous doe eyes of hers. Do you have anything, maybe, stronger? Okay, seriously, Harrington better be here quick to pick you guys up. I've got something I need to do, Eddie tells the gremlins as the session winds down. Lucas's little sister filled in for him tonight, and she's actually a better role player, but he's still pissed that Lucas ditched them. And he agreed to meet Chrissy at his van once the crowd thins out, so they could go get her some K from his trailer. He's nervous for some reason. He doesn't sell the K very often, and never to 17-year-old cheerleaders, but she looked like she needed to mellow out a lot. Still, he doesn't like it. Steve isn't picking us up tonight. He went to Lucas's game, and he's mad at us and you for not going, Dustin informs him. Mike's mom is picking us up. Me? Why me? Don't know, man. I'm sure we're getting a lecture tomorrow if you want yours at the same time. I'm not a fucking child. He can't give me a lecture, Eddie scoffs, shoving the last of his stuff into his bag. Tell yourself that, while you're sitting through the lecture that I'm sure Steve will be giving you, Mike complains. It's better to just sit through it and apologize. He's worse than my mom. He's worse than all our moms, Henderson whines, hefting his backpack onto his shoulder. Fuck that. Harrington even tries to give Eddie a lecture. He'll mess his hair up or something. He won't be sitting still for that shit. The kids run out, Erica yelling that her mom is here for the game, so she's got a ride too. Gareth and Jeff head to their cars, and Eddie makes sure the theater doors lock behind him before heading toward his van. He'd parked it out of the way so no one would see Chrissy waiting. The game must have gotten out a while ago, because she's sitting on her duffel bag on the ground next to his driver's side door. Strider is laying next to her, head on her knees. I see the big guy's keeping you company, Eddie says in greeting. I can't remember if you told me his name, but if so, I've forgotten it. Chrissy laughs, and it's all tinny like she's spread too thin. Strider, it's from Lord of the Rings. Her blank look is no surprise. Nerdbook, come on you two, your chariot awaits. He flourishes toward the van and Chrissy giggles with that same brittle sound before going around to climb in. Once they're in the trailer, Strider goes from room to room like he's checking for intruders. Eddie heads into his bedroom and digs around for the special K he knows he still has. He gets his weed from Rick, but Rick's doing a stint in county lockup, so Eddie's been dealing directly with the next guy up the chain, and he didn't want to get anything stronger from them. He trusts Rick, but no one else. Hawkins is a small town. Someone ODs, they're coming straight to Eddie's front door with the pitchforks. No thank you. From the living room, Chrissy asks, how long does it take to kick in? Strider is watching him tear through his room, looking for the box. Depends on if you snorted or not, he calls back over his shoulder. And if you do? Her voice is strained, like she's in pain, and Eddie thinks maybe she gets headaches. Maybe she should be going to the hospital and not getting high. But seriously, who is he to judge people's choices? Are you sure you've got it? She wonders. Sounds like she's still in the same spot in the living room. Good. She does not need to see the hellhole he lives in. Strider whips his head toward the hallway, ears and eyes alert. Eddie wonders if she's gotten cold feet and is leaving. Yeah, I've got it. Just need to... Aha! Strider takes off toward the front of the trailer. He makes a yipping noise, and then Eddie hears him growl, low and mean. What the fuck? He stumbles over his laundry, nearly falling into the hallway. In the living room, Chrissy is so still it looks like it hurts. Her arms and legs are locked, and her eyes have rolled back so far in her head that all he can see is white. What the fuck? Strider races from side to side, growling in a way that makes the insides of Eddie's ears vibrate. Chrissy! Chrissy! He almost yells, ignoring the wolf and grabbing her arms to jostle her. She doesn't move, and for such a small thing, she should be flopping around like a ragdoll with how he's shaking her. What the fuck? Chrissy! Chrissy, wake up! I don't like this! Her bright white sneakers have lifted off the floor, and what the fuck is happening? It's like The Exorcist or some shit. Chrissy, wake up! Help! Someone! Please, please help him! What is he supposed to do? What is happening? Strider is suddenly there between them, pushing Eddie back away from Chrissy, his fur standing up along the ridge of his back, and he's crouched low like he's trying to protect Eddie from whatever it is that's happening to Chrissy. She's floating all the way up until she's lying flat on the ceiling above them now, like an untethered balloon. They have to save her. How is he supposed to do that? He's not a fucking hero. The first snap is horrible. At first, he doesn't know what it is. He thinks she's hit her head or something fell. It just doesn't make sense. Then the next snap happens and he realizes, it's her. It's fucking Chrissy. She's breaking. Whatever's happening to her, whatever has her, is breaking her apart. Her, with her sweet smile and nervous laughter, with the fear just under the surface of perfection, the strain behind her eyes. Whatever had been haunting her this afternoon is here, in the fucking trailer, with Eddie and a goddamn wolf that sounds like a monster as it growls at the actual monster that they can't even see. The monster that's killing the cheerleader that Eddie didn't do enough to save. Crack. 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 All the bones in her arms and now her legs have snapped like twigs. When her jaw cracks, thrown violently sideways in a way that no one can ever recover from, Eddie begins to scream. Blood spills from her hollowed-out eyes, and all the joy and cheer that brought her to life is sucked inward until there's nothing left but a husk. And Eddie fucking runs. Out of the corner of his eye, he sees the wolf look between Eddie and the dead cheerleader still laying flat on the ceiling, and then it comes to a decision, leaping out of the trailer and sprinting for Eddie. They make it to the van at the same time. Eddie slides into the seat, and Strider vaults over him into the passenger seat. They speed away into the night, away from a nightmare that he hasn't even had yet. End of chapter 2.